Not too long ago, I visited local artist Dave Carter at his home studio. He's sifting through countless photos of mills he's taken in the last 9 months. Some of the mills look like they came from a Brothers Grimm fairy tale, and others more like a deteriorated shell of its former self. Carter is documenting many of Southern Missouri's remaining mills and turning them into paintings. And this is the story behind how this project got started.
Well, it would have to start with Bullinger Mill, since we're right here. That's the first mill that I went to when my wife and I got married 28 years ago. It's beautiful. You know, everybody in this area has been there. And I did a painting relatively soon after that. Then just, a year ago, we started hearing about these other mills besides Bullinger. And we started visiting some of them. And the more of them you visit, the more you want to see. Because as we've been talking about, they're all unique. Everyone has a unique story. Every one of them functions uniquely, and every one of them looks unique, and the environments they're built in are like fantasy lands and things. You know, the beautiful creeks. There's one that's called Falling Springs Mill, and it's a spring that shoots out the side of a bluff, you know, and falls straight down into this big pond-type area. You just never know what you're going to find.
So with that being said, why mills? Was this just something that you were always interested in, or what?
No, I can't say we were always interested in it. It's just been in the last 9 months. You start visiting them, and I've always been fascinated with old places, like old houses, old commercial buildings, old public buildings in general, the historic value, the interest there. So that part was with it. But as we started studying them, started reading about them, you find out that they were the social center of communities. Because people would bring their grain there, and it might take 2 or 3 days or even a week of waiting in line for their grain to be ground. And so there'd be parties and dinners and stuff. Stores would grow up around the area. Some people would build there. A church would be opened. It would actually become a community in and of itself. And it was a time of celebration. So they have that positive, good-feeling connotation to them. And then we started finding out that they weren't just used to grind grain. When electricity started being introduced at the turn of the century, they would spend part of their time generating electricity, not just for themselves, but for the neighboring communities, you know, some farmhouses and things, or I was talking about the stores. They would generate electricity for that as well as grind grain.
Which mill that you've been to so far has a really interesting backstory that's kind of stood out to you at least?
I think one of my favorite mills, not so much about the story about it, but just it's called Klepsig Mill, and it's south of 60 near Eminence, Missouri, and it's a little shack built out over granite rock stream that looks a lot like Johnson Shut-ins, and it's not a wheel type mill with an overshot or undershot mill wheel. It has a turbine, so it's not showy. Literally, it just looks like a shack with a blue metal roof on it, but it has no frame. It's called frameless, and it's literally just walls nailed together. And there's a fragility to it, and yet that thing has been there 100 years or more, and it's just kind of that whole environment. It's way, way off in the Tulies. You have to know it's there, and you have to want really badly to go see it. We've been back there twice, and it's probably one of my favorite mills. And then I was talking about the Falling Springs Mill, because it's just kind of romantic somehow, you know, fantasy thing with the water coming out of the side of a cliff.
Now, you start out by taking images of these mills, and then eventually what you end up doing is painting them from the images that you take. With that being your process, what challenges have you faced in doing that?
Well, we've got kind of... three goals when we locate a mill site and we finally actually find it and get there. One is to record what the mill looks like if you're just going to drive by it or walk up on it, you know, at the end of a path or something like that. So those would be the most expected photos. You know, if you Google that particular mill, these are the images you're going to see. Then we also try to get some more unique artsy angles of the mill that maybe everybody's not going to take the time to do. And then we also try to show the environment that the mill sits in. You know, some of the stream, if there are fields near it, if there are other buildings around it, so that there's more of an environment for it to sit in. Those are the three primary goals. the series of paintings I'm doing right now. Right now, I've got 9 of them started. I've got about 21 more to start, and we have about 20 more mills to visit that we're aware of over the next year. The series I'm doing of 16 by 20 paintings are intended to be the easily recognizable mills. You know, that somebody goes, "Yeah, I've been there." You know, or like I said, if you drove by, you'd say, "Hey, there's that mill." I'll be doing more larger, more artsy paintings. I was talking about from different angles or more of the environment that the mill sits in.
Some of them are in these hidden places that you have to go through some woods to find. But then you've come across some that are actually in people's backyards.
Well, that's I'm probably a tenth of the mills are privately owned that we've been to and are either inhabited or people, like you said, it's in their front yard or their side yard or their backyard. And most of the people that we've approached who actually own a mill are more than anxious to show it to you. They're proud of it, you know, and they want to show people their mills. One is an older couple. The mill itself isn't very dramatic, but the building attached to the actual millinery apparatus is a nice kind of old building, and they use it for wedding receptions and special events and stuff. They rent it out. Another mill the people actually moved into, they bought it. It's a stone, three-story stone structure that looks like a small Scottish castle. And they're keeping the natural stone inside and out. They're keeping all the natural wood that was used originally with it. Only the bathroom and the kitchen, they've modernized, you know, that it's all closed in with drywall and that kind of thing, more contemporary. But even their bedroom has a natural fireplace in it and is this old stone place. Three locations we've been to, the owners are no trespassing, you know, in terms of attitude. There are signs everywhere, you know, the dogs, et cetera, and we just can't get to them. One of those we were able to see with a telephoto lens from a bridge, you know, that was probably a quarter mile away. So there are some people who are very private and they don't want people messing around. Another family owns a small town that's basically deserted, but they own all the property and there's a mill on it. They really wanted to talk about it. That mill, unfortunately, is pretty decrepit. A family who own a mill northwest of Springfield. We approach them. We go up to them. I give them a business card. I say I'm an artist. I show them some things my wife, you know, explains that she's researching mills and that we found them, you know, on the internet, you know, where they were and stuff. And this family brought us in. He's a captain in the Naval Reserve, and this mill sits outside of their home. And we wound up, he had to go to an event. He was dressed all in his formal whites, and he had to go to an event. And his wife talked to us for almost 3 hours, showing us around the property and taking us around everywhere. And that's more typical. People really want you to see, you know, their mill and tell you the whole history of it and stuff. We've met fantastic people.
This is in some ways a way to preserve history. What is your end goal with this project?
Exactly that. Well, it's kind of a combination. In exploring the mills, everywhere we go, when we find a mill, there's usually stories about more mills that nobody else knows about, sort of thing, other than, you know, the people in that community. So it keeps growing. And we're finding that there's no comprehensive listing anywhere, even on the internet, of all these mills. A lot of the stories are erroneous about the mills. Like the owners will say, this has been printed twice, it's not true, you know, and we would really like to correct the story. So we're interested in doing that sort of thing. A lot of the directions to the mills are inaccurate. We've spent entire half days looking for a mill to find out that we've been driving circles around it, but the directions were incorrect, and a local then will tell us how to get there. So our goal is to, as best we can, compile a comprehensive listing of all the mills that we can find or hear about in South Missouri, give accurate locations, mention things like this is privately owned, you know, talk to the owner first or stay away, you know, that they don't want visitors. But the other goal is to provide a visual, this is in terms of the photographs especially, provide a visual documentation of what state these mills are in currently, right now. You know, some of them are in beautiful shape. Some of them, within a few years, there'll be nothing left. Some of them, it's just a foundation now, or it's a water wheel stuck out in the middle of the stream is all that's left. And we feel like it's just important in terms of the history of South Missouri to document all of these that we can right now before we lose even more of them. My wife has been doing most of the research, and if I remember correctly, she said that during the time of the Civil War, there were over 300 mills south of the Missouri River in Missouri. By the turn of the century, in late 1800s, early 1900s, there were only about 100 mills left. And from what we can ascertain now, there are about 50 to 60 mills left of those. And some of those, like I said, aren't even mills anymore. It's just some foundation rocks and that kind of thing, or part of the machinery.
Is there anything else that you want to add to kind of this project that you're doing and what you hope that other Missourians, you know, might stumble upon in their own backyards?
The state itself has asked that if anyone is out exploring and finds a mill site, ask around, see if anybody's aware of it, and please make the state aware of it. They keep finding these locations. Again, sometimes there's not even a mill left, but you can tell that there was something there.
Well, that's all I have. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.